Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 17th, 2019. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is taken from Luke chapter 6, and it talks about a secret. And before I read that and show it on the screen, you need to know about this secret. It's the secret is, well, 13 years ago, it's spread across the land. It got put on Oprah, so, you know, that was really a big deal. And the guy became a guru. The secret to success, you know, secret to money, secret to relationships, make your marriage more passionate, make your children listen to you, make your friends love you more, more likes on your Facebook page. You know, it's the secret. That's what it's called. The secret. Wrote a book. Did a movie. It's not out there today because it's a passing fad. I think it's also not out there so much today because, no matter what you think or say or do, it doesn't depend on you. Life is in God's hands. And God directs our plans. God directs our steps. And so when you want to find out something, you don't look inside. You look to God and his word. And that's the cool thing that we're going to find out today, because today we're going to find out that the secret is right out there in the open that God has for us. And he gives it first in this Beatitudes. Once again, it's not the first time he gives it, but please give your attention now to the screen.
He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. For that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
That's the Beatitudes. And you'll see from that already that it's not the success in life, what you want in life, is not what you're doing or what you're going to do or what your plans are. The understanding and the wisdom that comes in life is based on what has already happened. Why did I get sick? Why did I have to go through surgery? Why did so-and-so die? Why is there a headache in my... Why are my wife and I arguing? Why do the kids not pay attention? Why do mom and dad not get it? Why? All those bad stuff. Why is there war? Why are people always fighting? How come they can't talk to anybody? It goes back to what has happened. What happened that caused all this junk? It's called sin. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve chose to disobey the living God and spit in His face and walk away from all those blessings. And so everything has been cursed by that. We grow up, we live, and we die. At the end of every one of our lives is a tombstone that gives us wisdom. We understand that there's a huge, deep, lasting problem called sin. And God says, I hate sin. Yeah, it's right in there. I hate sin. God also says, I hate those who sin. Two things. Whoa, not just the act, but those who commit the act. Well, then what in the world are we to do? Because when you look at your life, it doesn't seem to match up to what God wants. Again, the wisdom and the joy that a Christian has is on what has been done. And what has been done? Well, God came into this world, yeah. Born as a baby, yeah. Born under the law, which meant that He had to keep all those commandments that you and I keep on breaking. Every one of them. He went all the way through childhood obeying His mom and dad. As a teenager, He never rebelled against mom and dad. He honored them all the time. He honored His teachers. He kept on learning God's word. He couldn't wait. In fact, it was hard to pull Him away from church because He loved His Father's house. As a young adult, He was always making friends. You could not stop Him from sharing that good news. At age 30, roughly, the Lord said, it's time, and He began His public ministry. And in 3 years, He had thousands and thousands of people following Him and thousands of people hating Him. And then of His own free will, He went to a cross. And outside of Jerusalem, on a cross, God gathered up every one of our sins. Every one. The hidden ones, the obvious ones. Every sin of thought, word, and deed. Every sin. And He put it on His Son, and He crushed His Son. Jesus had never done anything wrong. He took it for us so that the punishment would be all gone. That's good news. And the good news is that God continued that story. He raised His Son from the dead so that you and I would know it's enough. You don't have to do anything more. When He says, believe Me and be saved, He means, believe Me and be saved. It's kind of like God gave us this letter. Sure, life is good. And trust Me, but this letter that God gives us lets us know the truth. There are some people who say, oh, sure, life is good, and I'll trust God as long as life is good, but as soon as life goes bad, I'm not going to trust Him anymore because, you know, I want my life to be good. I want life to be happy. And Jesus points out in His woes, woe to you who think that life is all about riches and being fed and having happiness. It's not about the here and now. It's about things that last forever and ever. In life, you have ups and downs.
In fact, if you're a mature Christian, you know that your faith has ups and downs. Some days, it's like you could walk on water. Other days, you're wondering if you can even get out of bed. Our faith has strong points and weak points. Life has ups and downs. The thing that lasts forever and ever, you can go to again and again, is what God has done for us. The problems are a lot. You know, when he points out that all these people came to him, you know, they came not just from where he was, but they also came from the surrounding area, other countries. And why did they come to Jesus? They come to Jesus because they got problems. They got big problems. They got problems with mom and dad. They have problems with the government. They have problems with their next door neighbor. They have problems with their life. They have demon possession. They have diseases that cannot be cured. They're lonely. They're afraid. And they come with all this junk to Jesus. Because they heard from a friend of a friend of a friend that this guy, this one guy, can take care of all those problems. And so they come. And they find out that Jesus does take care of all their problems. In fact, he takes care of more than all those problems. See, the world and the devil come along, and whenever you have bad stuff, they say things like this into your mind. Well, yeah, you know the bad stuff happened. You know why the bad stuff happens? Because you're bad. Because God remembers what you did a couple of years ago, and it's coming back to haunt you right now. He's going to get you. He's paying you back. That's called false guilt. God doesn't work like that. God has an incredible bank called grace. And this bank of grace, he loves to forgive. He takes delight in showing mercy and kindness. It's kind of like Jesus said this: I've come to do my Father's will. I have completely trusted in my Father's plan for me from even before I was conceived in the womb. I lived holy and I died holy, and my life was the holy sacrifice to cover your dishonor of my Father, to pay for your debt of rebellion. Your sins are washed away. I removed all your guilt and debt from you. Trust me. Listen to me. You are blessed. I tell you, I, the one who conquered death for you, I tell you, you shall rise with me, sins forgiven, heaven guaranteed. Listen to me again. You are blessed. I've said this to some people, and they say, well, yeah, but not me, Pastor. And I say, you're not arguing with me. You're telling God that he's a liar. When God says, you are blessed, I am blessed. So I'm in the hospital, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm wondering how in the world I'm going to get out of this particular mess I'm in. And my pastor came into me and says, you are blessed. My oldest sister, a strong Christian, said, you are blessed. I'm sitting there, and I'm arguing with them. And what do they say? I didn't say that. Jesus says, blessed are you. Whoa. So now I take a step back, because the history of God working with men, as he's recorded in his Bible, everybody who fights God loses. I don't want to fight God. So what does he say? He says, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you. What does that mean? He's saying, look around you. This life is passing. At the max, 60, 70, maybe 80 years, 90, 60 or 70. That's what you can kind of look forward to. Maybe 80. It's whatever it is, it's going to be all headache and pain and sorrow because you're living on this side of heaven. But blessed are you who are poor, who know that you're living in poverty land. Doesn't matter how many bank accounts you have. Doesn't matter whether the stock market goes up or down. Doesn't matter. Because heaven, the streets are paved with gold. I tell the children in Bible history class, in heaven, everybody on this side of heaven, we all want to be the guys in charge of fixing the streets, putting the filling up the holes in heaven because they use gold. amazing place. Money is nothing. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who weep now. Why am I weeping? Why am I weeping? Why is Jesus saying that? Because I'm weeping on this side of heaven for the same things that God weeps over. God weeps for sin. God weeps for people caught in sin. God weeps for people who are stumbling and rebellious in their sin, and they're going to hurt themselves and others. You know, when you look at this part of God's word, the amazing thing is you see God's kindness in the blessings and the woes because God cares. He says, woe to you. If you're depending on your riches, if you're depending on your happiness, if you're depending on your stuff right now, woe to you. You are so short-sighted. I want you to live forever with me in heaven. Oh, yeah. So what does it mean? How do you put this blessing when he says, blessed are you? How do you put that in your real life? God himself declared, you are blessed. So whatever is going on in your life and you think is a curse, that's a half-truth or a lie that Satan is throwing right at you. So you have to address it with the truth. The truth is that God, for Jesus' sake, says that you are blessed. You may not know what God's doing. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He doesn't owe me an explanation. But God says you are blessed. He says, first, turn to Jesus and the cross. First. And guess what? We don't do that. So does God throw us away? No. God keeps on saying, you're blessed. I want you to trust in me. So I want you to look at everything that's going on around you and trust me when I tell you that it's blessed. In the book of Romans, he says, I will make everything turn out for your good, the good of those who trust in me. But I'm blessed? This works in everything. Maybe problems in your marriage. What do you do with your marriage if you have problems in your marriage? First thing you do is to look at God's word, and what does God say to you? And you confess your sin to God, you and him. And then you study and find out, what does God say about marriage? And you know what? God says all sorts of wonderful things about marriage. He says how husbands are to love their wives. He says how wives are to love their husbands. He even says how to communicate with each other with words that are kind and considerate of the other person. And then when you're through studying God's word, then you go to God and say, you know, Lord, I don't quite have a handle on this yet. Not only forgive me my sin, but give me the wisdom to go from day to day, to learn how to do this better to give you glory. What about family life? When your family life gets stressed because of time constraints, you got to get the kids here, you got to get kids there. Oh, by the way, I have to go to work. Oh, I have to get some sleep in. Oh, I have to get some food in there. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do any of that stuff. And what happens when sickness comes in and throws a monkey wrench in all those plans? I am blessed, is what Jesus says. So the first thing I do is I go to God and I say, you know, Lord, I don't feel blessed. But since you say I'm blessed, my feelings need to be corrected, and I can't do that. You're in charge of my heart. So get my heart in line with the truth. And help me understand that you have promised that all things will work together for good. I am blessed. There's something else you should know here. The God that we serve is such a great God. He says, come to me with all your problems, like all those people did. Thousands of people coming in with all their problems and their headaches and their heartaches, and they're all coming, and Jesus did as much as he could for everyone who was there, and he still continues to do that. When you find out that you are lacking in faith or wisdom, you don't know what to do or how to do it, you know what God says? Ask me. I love to give. And if you think, well, I've already asked him for that, ask him again. and ask Him for more of whatever it is that you feel that you're lacking, because God loves to forgive. God loves to give. God loves to show mercy and kindness, and that's the God that we serve. The God is with us right now, who's promised to never leave us, never forsake us. Those are amazing words. Blessed are you. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in this Christ Jesus, our Lord, who says you are blessed.